Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I never figured out whether that was real or not, that Seinfeld episode where George had to fly somewhere for a funeral.
Right.
And he had heard that they got half off, but he wasn't really flying for a funeral. And you've got one later on this week.
Headed to Mississippi.
So is there, now yours is real.
Yeah. I better take a picture for Shasky. So you know I really went, man.
Last week. Oh, no, let's not go.
Yeah.
Let's not go.
I got a bone to pick.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
So Evan's out. He's filling in for Willard today on the afternoon show. We're all family here. And one of the upcoming stars at our station is producing us today, Risotto, right?
Yeah.
I like everything about the kid. I'm a diehard fan, Steiny, you know that. But I'm looking at him because he's ahead of... What's with the Diamondback hat? You're a giant.
Am I a giant?
I had you as diehard giant.
I don't have a giant hat at all.
Well, that's a problem.
I'm in the media. I cover the team.
Dude, wow.
You know,
hey, Risotto, I got to tell you. I had you in the car with Shasky Loveman, but you're saying that's your team.
I was a print journalist before this covering the Giants.
I'm not mad at him. Why? He got little of you in him.
Yeah.
Wow. Risotto, my bad.
Yeah, I've got rules about what I wear and what I don't wear in terms of if it has a team logo on it or not.
No, I get it now.
I have a hat. I'm trying to get hats from all teams.
No, that's something I wish I would have did in my life. Collect gear from all the teams, but knowing who you really ride with. Because there is beautiful gear out here, Steiny.
I tell people I grew up a Giants fan. How about that?
Are you still a Giants fan?
I root for a great story.
Dude. Well, okay,
I root for Risotto. A great story.
Me too. And you wear Wizard stuff.
Me too.
Atlanta Hawk stuff.
That's right.
When you have now, I'll be wearing Dallas Maverick stuff because my boy Andy's here.
T-Wolves.
Of Minnesota, you're right.
But here's the deal. Here's my rule. So last week, get the drop ready. Last Sunday, I went down and played Pebble Beach. Thank you. And they have unbelievable stores down there.
Yeah.
With Pebble Beach merchandise. It's nice.
I bet.
Yeah, I would never buy any of it. Ever.
See, that's where I think you're losing. You don't owe anybody anything. You wanted it, obviously.
No, I actually don't. I didn't want it.
But something told you not to do it.
Right, and what tells me not to do it is I don't like to wear clothes of teams or places that are near where I'm actually wearing it. In other words, if I were living in Philadelphia and I played Pebble Beach, yes, I would buy a nice piece of swag to wear back east, not in the Bay.
It's too common out here. So you're trying to be different.
For example, when I was in college, okay, I loved Stanford, the red Stanford cap with the white S.
It's sick.
It's just perfect.
Yeah, no doubt.
So in college, I always wore a Stanford hat, but I went to school back east. But when I moved out here, I wouldn't put a Stanford hat on at gunpoint. I just wouldn't do it. It's too close to here. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And there are other people on the other side of that. They'll wear the hell out of
you
because they're from here.
Like you, always wear Warrior stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
That's just
because everybody's got Warrior stuff out
Steiny,
here.
Steiny, why fit in when you were born to stand out?
And exactly. Risotto gets it.
That sounds like a song or a book. That's a bar.
It was Dr. Seuss.
It works for me. Dude. Yeah. Anyway, you look great. When did you play Pebble Beach and with who? Sunday.
Yeah, last Sunday. Three friends. Mm-hmm. Cost a lot of money, Goo.
Oh, yeah, you got back Monday. So that was the tail end of your... What? Oh, my God.
I know you're not going to believe this, but after the round, I got sick.
Okay, got you.
That's why then I ended up missing Monday and Tuesday.
You still fighting a little bit? Just a little nasally.
Just a little bit, but it's fine. Couple other
risotto. Check me. That was a beautiful answer. I just had to ask. I wouldn't be the smart aleck.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get into some sports in a minute, but I do have to. Can you explain to me some things that are happening in our world?
Yeah.
What's going on with Dez Bryant and Nicki Minaj?
Well, I cuss Dez Bryant.
I like Nicki Minaj. I think she's
She's falling off. Her career is. The records, the people. She ain't hitting like she once was, but that's neither here nor there. Cardi B's taking over. But you ask me, and I'll just say this before I answer. I think I love entertainment. It entertains me. And when I'm on social media as much as I am, Stoney, you get these nuggets. But what about Evan's ass? Young Evan Giddings, when I came in Friday with some GMZ, not TMZ, and he goes, how do you get this information? I didn't like the way he said it, and I forgot to bust him out, right? Because when we go to the cafeteria, he's all ears. Anyway, Dez chimed in on the Micah Jerry Jones situation when Micah requested a trade.
Okay.
And he did a video saying the stuff that he hasn't talked about when he was in Dallas, the corruptness that he dealt with, I didn't like it. And I wanted to say, and I did, STFU.
Wait.
I said that caps to Dez. He didn't respond.
Oh, you sent Dez Bryant.
Friday night, after he did his, he was sticking his nose in it. This ain't about you, but now you want to jump in it, okay?
Oh.
So that's what he said, Team Micah, about the Jerry Micah situation. So Nicki Minaj saw the tweet about Jerry Jones.
All right.
And she has a problem with Jay-Z.
What does he have to do with anything?
He's Rock Nation. Okay, he represents Rock Nation. Okay. So 10 years ago, he facilitated, he was Dez Bryant's agent in negotiations with Jerry Jones. What? This is 10 years ago.
Why would Jay-Z. You hire a musician?
No. Well, no.
He
was
your agent.
Remember, he had the agency part of Rock Nation going on.
Okay.
So he was repping athletes.
All right.
Okay. So Jerry Jones Saturday responded to the viral video of Micah requesting a trade.
Okay.
And Jerry, out of nowhere, brought up when Jay-Z did the Dez negotiations, Dez was nowhere to be found after Jay-Z said he was going to be there and they wouldn't return calls. What do you think happened? Jay-Z came out through his publicist and said, that never happened. I never said that. And Dez said the same thing.
Who do you believe?
It is neither here nor there.
What do you mean? That's at the heart of it. Truth.
I'm neutral. I don't believe any of it. He got paid. Dez got paid. Okay? And that's why I put my fastball at Dez. Like, why are you talking bitter when you got paid? Jerry paid you. Bottom line is, Nicki feels like Rock Nation sabotaged their career, Jay-Z, and she came over the top to Dez and said, you beat your mom for God.
Oh,
remember there was that allegation that he went to jail and put hands on his mom, but he was defending himself. She went there. Then she came back and Dez came back and said, your husband, allegedly, Stoney, it's fact, is a registered sex offender. And then that was on there. Those are facts.
Starting to lose me a little bit.
I'm just
getting very complicated.
Ken Petty is Nicki Minaj's husband, and he had whatever relations with a minor, whatever, but he is a registered dad. So then Nicki goes, I'll pay you $10 million to come fight my husband.
It's still going on this story. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll pay you 10 M's to come fight my husband. And then Dez took the bait and said, I'll do it right in front of you.
Oh, boy.
And then Nicki hasn't responded since. But it's just all the stuff that's wrong with sports. Then we got, if I can interest you in this,
sure.
The first lady, the former first lady, Michelle Obama, saying when she watches ESPN, it feels like she's watching The Desperate Housewives of Atlanta.
How about them cowboys?
And I'm like, Risotto, why would Michelle, the former first lady, go in on Stephen A. and Company to that degree?
Stoney,
I don't like any of it. But don't get mad at me because I got the notes.
All right. I.
You asked. I tried to give it to your guru life from GMZ. Go ahead, man.
All right. I do want to. I'm going to play this for you if for no other reason.
This bothers me.
And I want to know how and why. It does, okay. But you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Okay, this is former First Lady Michelle Obama talking about ESPN and Stephen A. Smith.
If I listen to ESPN for an hour, it's like watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know? I mean, you know, it's the same drama and they're yelling at each other and they don't get along. You know, I mean, Stephen A. Smith, he's just like every other talk show host.
He'd be a great Real Housewife.
He would be.
Right. He would be amazing.
So that's why I'm like, what's the difference? It's just, you know, it's just sociological drama.
And Rosado goes, there goes Stephen A's endorsement for president. You know, he might be running. And Austin in San Jose in the chat says, everybody has an opinion. I guess, Donnie, I have Michelle on a pedestal. Yeah. Even if you felt like that, you don't break out the Uzi on the First Take crew like that.
Why not?
And all they're regurgitating is all the stuff that we're talking, this smut.
They are the smut. Don't you get it? They are the smut. Stephen A. Smith is the smut.
He's a friend of the show now. Yeah, be careful.
Well, he's a friend of your show.
Our show. And Stephen A. Come on, okay. Man. Yeah.
Okay. Here's what she's talking about, and I completely agree. Is it really news that LeBron James goes up to Stephen A. Smith and says, hey, keep my son's name out of your mouth?
Sonny, in this new
world. That doesn't mean anything.
But it does in this new world is headlines. But seriously, it is.
The biggest problem, what's the biggest problem with media these days? You guys are the listeners. You guys consume it.
I gotta.
What's the biggest problem? No, okay, go ahead.
I think the media guys are making it about them.
Yeah, exactly.
When Stephen
That's
A.
what
said.
She's saying. So you agree with her. Thank you.
No.
You agree with Michelle Obama.
To an extent. If I'm covering Stephen A. versus Shannon, LeBron...
Well, it's not a story.
Stephen A. did, and I said it, I was disappointed. He did too much trying to act like meet me behind the cafeteria after school. Like, that bothered me. But, Stani, look at me. That's what sells.
No, it doesn't.
You said it's Malcolm X now. By any means.
All right.
People are doing whatever they're doing for ratings. Pat, Matt, everybody, just admit it.
Let's go back to the original comment.
If I listen to ESPN for an hour, it's like watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know? I mean, you know, it's the same drama and they're yelling at each other and they don't get along. You know, I mean, Stephen A. Smith, he's just like every other talk show host.
He'd be a great Real Housewife.
He would be. Right.
He would be amazing.
So that's why I'm like, what's the difference? It's just, you know, it's just sociological drama.
And I would tell Michelle, maybe you have something, and maybe it's not a negative connotation, but...
No, it is.
I'll just say this. I didn't like her being the messenger. You're the former first lady. Don't get into it. Now Stephen's going to fire back at you. Then Obama. Then it's the Obamas versus Stephen. Hey, don't you get it? I'm already looking down to yonder.
So the reason she's right, and she's absolutely right, is... Like, do you enjoy Charles Barkley calling Kendrick Perkins an idiot and then Kendrick Perkins saying, you know, wait till I see you next time? That's dumb.
This is how you're going to know.
That's dumb in my book.
I got to just respond real quick. This is how I'm going to know if you love me or not. You, myself, Willard and Dibs did a bit every Friday at 2 o'clock, what's bugging you?
Mm-hmm.
And when that popped off, what's bugging me was black on black crime within the media. So, Steiny, you know for a fact, your boy does not like that. I think it's a bad look.
Ooh.
Me, I didn't like Kendrick and Barkley. I did a whole, what's bugging me? I like, that's too much. And I don't think it does for all the young, and I'm going racial here, all the young black kids and men and women trying to get into business, this does us no good. And I did one of my what's bugging you on that. So I know you want to put me in, like I don't have my popcorn excited about that stuff. But unfortunately, Steiny, it's what it is, right? This is what they like.
I don't believe it.
The masses, not everybody.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's what, I'm not sure if it's what we like or if it's what we want or if we just have to tolerate it because that's the way it goes. And I get where you're coming from on the, you know, black on black.
Right.
Like you can go there. I'm talking about everything.
Did
like
you felt Michelle could have held on to that?
No, why?
Because she's her in another category. So
which is what? She can't express an opinion? Why can't she express an opinion?
You wouldn't have did that if you were in office. And you're
classy.
She's
not in office. She's never held an office.
You tell your girlfriends that or Barack on the trip to the Hamptons. You don't come out and say, spray the whole first. Hey, I'm done with First Take, by the way. But you don't spray them like that, Michelle. What's the diss record? What's next? You're going to be in a booth rapping? Like, I expect more from the former First Lady.
So she's
That's
not
all, Steiny.
She's not allowed to make a comment about
I
something.
I thought she was above that stuff. That's all. Now you want to be relevant again, and you did it. Because now you're going viral.
Well, it sounds
And
to
then
me.
Stephen A's going to respond, and Molly. So just do a diss record.
It sounds to me, Goo, like you have a problem with the fact that, is it because she's a woman?
Oh, no, not at all.
What is it?
No, Stani, she's the first lady.
No, she's not.
Well, she was the former first lady. That's class personified.
So if Melania Trump did it, it'd be okay because she's the first lady now.
No, not at all. I feel like you got bigger fish to fry. There's class to that label. That's all. Michelle can do this at the cafeteria at the old ship with her girlfriends.
It sounds to me like you don't want her doing interviews.
No, people are saying, "Goo, it's her opinion."
I agree. Like I think my
girl is thirsty for clicks.
Okay.
And now, you're human, Michelle, but now you're getting what you knew before you let that go what was going to happen, the firestorm.
Well, first
good
of all,
or bad, if you agree with her or don't, Michelle, you let me know you want some action, and now you got it.
So she shouldn't,
she can say whatever she wants.
So if she does an interview, she should probably get the questions beforehand.
No.
So if she gets asked something, would you prefer she doesn't, which do you want? No interviews for Michelle Obama.
Never that.
Lying or you know, I love sports media is great.
No, I'm just.
Or sharing an opinion that she believes in.
I don't want her to stoop to the level. That's all.
I don't think she did stoop to the level.
Okay.
She disagrees
with that.
She's not calling anybody a bad name. She's just saying the way the sports coverage is right now, we're not really talking about the athletes and the games and the performances. We're talking about Stephen A. Smith going at this guy. We're talking about Perkins going at Barkley. We're talking about Skip Bayless
going
at
anybody
under the sun.
And now we're talking about Michelle going at First Take. That's all. And that's her prerogative. She can say it. It has nothing to AP saying, Apollo Crews on the chat because she's black. No. Has nothing to do with it.
Well, who can say it?
I thought.
Who? Like, seriously, who
could? I thought she was above the mess.
Okay, forget her. Okay.
No, I can't. That's what we're talking about.
Who has the right to
criticize? Obama was above the mess.
So.
Apparently not.
But. So everybody else can comment on it but her?
No, it ain't no everybody. I just have her in a different category that she's too classy to stoop to that level to blow him up like that.
I don't think she blew him up at all.
All right.
I think she articulated what a lot of us kind of feel is that a lot of these media members think they are the pro athletes. Like they think.
And there's some truth to that.
They should be covered like a pro athlete. And the other thing is, like, is it funny? Is it dumb? Does it not matter when ESPN is doing an NBA game and they...
And they're not perfect by any
stretch. And their cameras are on Stephen A. Smith when he comes into the building almost as if he's Steph Curry or LeBron James.
I got you, man.
I mean, that's dumb.
Yeah, I'm not telling you they're perfect. I'm just telling you... Stani, and obviously you disagree with me, and it's fine, and so a lot of people, but she's class personified. So I was just, even, I'm saying to you, I understand, but I just thought the Michelle Obama I knew kind of would, even if she wanted to say that in that form, and we didn't hear ESPN a part of the question at all. We didn't hear anything, so she could have just volunteered this. Wow. I was just shocked, like, damn, Michelle, you know this is going viral and getting back to him, and you probably don't care. And Steiny, she has a license to say whatever she wants. But again, I just had her too classy, like Claire Huxtable from The Cosby Show.
So in other words,
I just didn't think she would stoop to this level.
That's fair. So in other words, if you're classy, you can't offer an opinion, or you got to bite your tongue, or I just don't think she said anything that wasn't classy. Mm. Like, hey, what's the deal? What do you think of sports media these days? Well, you know,
she kind of told you.
It's like the Real Housewives of Atlanta or Orange County. Like, and I think she hit it right on the head.
Stephen A. did respond, by the way.
Of course he did.
What did he say, Risotto?
He said, quote, "So this doesn't have anything to do with what you were talking about, how sports and reality TV mirror one another, even though we would beg to differ, because a lot of things on reality TV are made up situations and scenarios to provoke reactions and all of that stuff."
To revoke reactions?
To provoke reactions and all of that stuff. We're at sports. That's live entertainment. You're actually competing against one another's big time. No, reality TV is not like that. How about that?
Yeah, whatever that means. Yeah.
Teach his own.
And she also said that she was wrong about her assertions.
No, she wasn't.
Did she take it back?
No, she wasn't.
Oh, boy, Stoney.
And he said, "You will never hear me utter a negative word about you, but I respect... disagree and still remain pretty salty about what you said about us."
Yeah,
said Smith.
Yeah. I'm team Barack Michelle Obama.
Michelle, can I talk to you? You need to apologize to Stephen A. and First A. That's what he said, Stoney.
Why would you need to apologize for saying that when you watch?
It was harsh,
some sport,
a little, Stoney.
It was right on the money.
I'm not saying it's not. So this is not me caping for ESPN. It's just, that's my girl. I just thought she, you don't want to go viral.
I know what it is.
Tell me.
She criticized your boy.
No, I told you, I've been done with my boy.
No, you said he's a friend of the show.
Well, when he comes on. But you know I've been disappointed with Stephen A. You know, come on now.
Wait, you're disappointed in Stephen A. Are you allowed to share that opinion or not?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were classy.
Since when?
I'm just trying to figure
out. When? Stoney, when?
I'm just trying to figure out.
I'm just an old boy from Union City, California.
I'm just trying to figure out.
I didn't run the free world, or my spouse didn't. That's me. I get it. And people are like, "Goo, come on, man." But her opinion's her opinion. I just was shocked she did the rap battle version of it. That was like a hit 'em up song, Stoney. Shout out Tupac.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you're... chickens are coming home to roost with you and Stephen A. Smith. I think you're starting to realize. I think you're starting to realize I know what you're starting to realize.
All right.
888-957-9570 is the number. If you want to jump in on this conversation, I'm with Michelle Obama. I can't stand the way these guys...
And gals.
Here's the other thing. I can't stand the way these guys think that they are the players.
Yeah.
And now somebody can be like, "What do you do, Stein?" I think it's different for you and me.
Yeah.
I really do. We got a 4-hour show. So there's a million things we can end up talking about. Anyway, Stephen A. Smith. It's coming up on The Game. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Steiny and Guru with you on a Monday. And the Giants take 2 of 3 from the Mets. We'll get into some Niner stuff a little bit later in the show. But I think we got to talk about the latest on Jonathan Kuminga. Because things have been trickling in the last week or so, and we've heard a lot of this and that and the other thing. So I just want to bring everything to the attention of Warrior fans. And here's what it is. Tim Kawakami. And I want to know if two things. Mm-hmm. One, do you believe the veracity of the report? No, I don't want to put it like that. Because I believe the report. I guess the question I would ask is, do you think the Warriors are authentic when they said this, or at least the source said this to Kawakami, and here it is. The word I got, this is yesterday.
All right.
The word I got when I checked in with a Warriors source on Sunday, Kuminga won't be traded this summer. He'll be back on the Warriors roster to start the season, and it'll either come when he signs the Warriors offer, which the latest was 2 years for 45, or he accepts the $7.9 million 1 year qualifying offer.
All right.
And then the other sentence that I don't know if this is news or not. I think we all believe that Lacob likes Kuminga, but the broad context, according to Kawakami, is that Joe Lacob remains a fan of Kuminga's and is determined to either keep the 22-year-old on the roster or get real value in return, and he's willing to wait it out. So, you know, there's two – we're still saying two things here. One is Joe Lacob wants to keep Kuminga, but – obviously, if there's an offer that comes down the pike in the next month or two, they'll take it and they'll end up trading Kuminga. Let me just where I'm coming from right now, because there's a lot going on. Let's leave out whether I like Kuminga, you like Kuminga, you like him more, I like him less, you think he's better than I think he is. You think he's got a brighter future than I do. And all those things. Nevertheless, you can't bring this guy back, can you? Like that, like of all the choices, I think that could be the worst one. And it's no shade at Kuminga, but hasn't he made it clear he'd rather not play for the Warriors? Hasn't he made it clear he doesn't like his role here? Hasn't he made it clear he wants more playing time and wants to be a cornerstone of a team? And yet, none of those things are yet available for him here. Mm. So why in the world would you bring back Jonathan Kuminga unless you're bringing him back for one reason and one reason only, and that is to eventually move him because you acknowledge he doesn't fit?
Well, I'll say this to that, Steiny, and you already know where I'm at. And before we got this report, there's something eating at me that had been eating at me and still is, that his biggest fan was the most important fan. Now, I do agree with your assessment. He wants out, but it's not the Golden State Kamingas. It's the Golden State Warriors. And if I got a young buck that I think can be a part, Steiny, forget if he likes his role or not. If he can be a part of getting us closer to the promised land, I'm not giving him up for nothing, especially since he's still a puppy, 22 years old. Now, you talk about the Warriors culture. This is why, Steiny, I'm willing to roll the dice on bringing them back, because I know it's going to sound crazy, outside the new bread or outside the money, if he were to take the qualifying offer, what do we know? He's already been bitter Bob here before, and it ain't popped off to where it was just super drama. That was Poole versus Draymond Green. So I got to believe the construct of this team, yeah, maybe he's not the happiest camper, but everybody's going to be professional. We need you when we need you. You mope or you don't mope. But I don't think Kuminga's in a position, Steiny, and I'm not saying he would ever do this, sabotage the team and his play, because he still, if he's a Warrior, is putting this season on his resume. So I think they could handle him coming back. I don't think there would be a lot of scuttlebutt in between him and the players about how this thing played out. So I just feel like there's been bad blood before. So Lakers, like, what's one more year or half a year if you do sign this offer and we move you? Or if Kerr is 1 year left on his deal and you didn't fit that regime, if there's a new coach here, could be a possibility. I don't have any sources. Then what's Kuminga's future on the team post-Kerr?
888-957-9570 is the number. Can I? Well, first of all, the one thing that you said,
Tim,
and I think we've got to make sure that nobody's saying this, and that is, you know, you can't get nothing for Kuminga. Well, I don't think that's even an option at this point. They're either going to, at this point, they're either going to sign and trade him, or he's going to play on the qualifying offer or a shorter term deal. So, like, the like they're not going to let him walk right now for nothing. They can't. Now, next offseason, could he theoretically leave for nothing? Yes, if he takes the qualifying offer, then he can. But I want to break it down into something just more simplistic, and that is, if you're a Warrior fan, we've seen this for 4 years now with Kuminga and the Warriors and where he fits and what his best role would be and whether he deserves more playing time or not.
Mm-hmm.
But after 4 years, and if somebody out there wants to say, well, you don't know that, Steiny, I would say, I think you're not reading the room well at all. Do you really want a play? You're in your last year of your window, or second to last year of your window. Do you really want a guy on your team that doesn't want to be there? And that's where, that to me is a line that I don't want to cross. I just don't think it's going to work out well. And I know, well, he's not an attitude problem. I know he's not an attitude problem. But if his heart's not in it, he will not be able to play at his highest level on this team. So I've got to figure something else out as it relates to Kuminga. No, that's just me.
No, I got you. And you left no stone unturned. But the bottom line is, if they do this, I'm being proactive for the sake of this conversation, Stoney, bring him back. Doesn't that signal to you and the fans out there that Joe Lacob thinks mentally he can handle this?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think what we're looking at right now, from everything I've seen, is bad options all the way around for everybody. And what hasn't been able to happen is that everybody's happy. Like, if Jonathan Kuminga comes back on the qualifying offer, that's not good. If Jonathan Kuminga comes back on a 2-year deal for $45 million, I don't think that's great either, because the fit is still the issue with Kuminga. And Steve Kerr can say everything he wants about, well, if Jonathan's back, I'll make a go of it at the beginning of the year, yeah, and we'll try to shoehorn it. We know how he feels. Like, we just know.
But what about his contract situation, though, Stoney?
He's got one more year left. Why would he bend over backwards for Kuminga?
I'm not saying bend over or do anything like that, but what if he's gone after one, and then what's Kuminga's future like with the,
well,
with the new coach?
That's fair.
To me, that's greater than, now, I would have to be right. We'd have to be talking about this, knowing for sure that this is Kerr's last year, but wouldn't that be, if you're Kuminga, wouldn't that matter to you? Like, you know what? Okay. If this dude is out of here, I can. I didn't seen it 4 years. I can wait one more year, okay, and then who can speak to what it'll be like under the new regime or the new head coach? Like, well, I gotta believe there's some of that if I'm Kuminga, I'm banking on.
Okay. They'll still have Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler on the roster. Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green are probably going to be on the roster for 2 more years. Like, that's the other part of this that hasn't been addressed, is forget the money, what about his playing time? And if you're asking me, okay, so I'm Kuminga,
yeah,
and I know Steve Kerr's got one more year left in his deal, I'm not signing a two-year deal thinking I just gotta stick it out for another year and then he'll be gone and then I can flourish.
Well, what if
you're still going to have to beat out Butler Draymond Green.
Oh, now, I got to say this. At different junctures, Donnie, and I'm reaching, bad defense, but the bottom line is, if Lacob loves this kid like I think he does, and Jonathan Kuminga comes back on that qualifying offer, and then that parlays into Steve Kerr maybe, you know, wrapping it up here as head coach, I mean, who's to say that Draymond Green or Jonathan Kuminga's role wouldn't change under the new coach?
it might change under the new coach. That's very possible. Then what happens to Butler and Draymond? Like, there's still, I just don't think there's enough room on this team for the three of them at this point. Kawakami also had a, there's one really interesting thing. So maybe they want, here it is. There's a further complication, according to Kawakami. As Mark Stein has reported on his Substack, and Mark Stein's a longtime NBA media man, on his Substack, the Warriors, and this is the part that it's like, you got to be kidding me.
All right.
The Warriors, as part of their offer, want Kuminga to waive his right as a player on a one-year guarantee to block any trade during the first year. It's like, what are you, the only piece of leverage Kuminga has, if he takes the qualifying offer, is that then he can control where he goes. Right. So here's what we want, Jonathan. We want you to take the 7.9 qualifying offer and give up the only leverage you would have by doing something that you absolutely don't want to do, and neither do we either.
Like, if his agent let him do something, we're just talking. If his agent, Mr. Turner, even let him do something like that, Stoney, that would be negligence.
The other thing is if he signs a one-year qualifying offer and the Warriors want to trade him, Kuminga can say no to any deal. Like, the Warriors, they can't do that. They can't allow, I mean, could you imagine if, you know, halfway through the year, the Warriors have what they think is a terrific deal for Kuminga and somebody else, and Kuminga goes, yeah, I don't want to go there.
I could totally see that happening.
Well, that's the one part, Goo, where I can't. Like, I can't see the Warriors signing over that kind of leverage, especially when, like, think about it this way. A lot of people are talking about, well, you got to sign him so that eventually you can get value for him.
Okay.
Well, you're not going to get value for him if he dictates which team he's going to go to. So this thing, I don't think this thing's going to be settled for a while. I really don't.
Man, I don't think that's good for either party.
I don't know how it can.
Yeah, the fans included. Like you said, what about your old premise on just going back to Horford or Melton, if some other team calls him while this is all just kind of lollygagging? And I'm sure it might not be that serious, but it has the potential to be to where you could lose out on other things. Like, I do wonder, Stoney, if Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob would look us in the face the day the season ended when they lost to Minnesota, thinking by August 3rd or 4th, this thing would still be up in the air.
I think they had to. They had to allow for the fact that this was a possibility. They had to. Like, Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob, they understand the cap as well as anybody, and they knew you think when they didn't come to an agreement last summer, they didn't come to an agreement last summer, Lacob and Dunleavy didn't look at each other and say, all right, fine, there's no money next year. Wow. I hope he knows that. There's no money next year. Stoney, if the Warriors were serious contenders, then could you just jettison Kuminga? But they aren't, so they need to squeeze. Yeah, no, they. And that's. I'm not saying the Warriors are doing anything wrong. I'm not saying Kuminga's doing anything wrong. But the situation right now is not good. And
how do you make it good?
Like,
what's like, good?
You can't. I mean, I remember last week I was saying, I don't know what happens that makes everybody happy. Like, Warrior fans, is there a scenario out there that when this comes to its conclusion, however it comes, Warrior fans will be like, wow, that worked out as well as it could work out. Man, Dunleavy played it perfectly. You know, Kuminga got what he wanted. The Warriors got what they wanted. And now we go into the season feeling great about where we are.
You got me thinking now.
I can't. Warrior fans, what would that scenario be? Would it be Kuminga coming back on a two-year deal for $45 million? Is that the best case scenario right now? And it might be.
Because the worst case is him coming back on that qualifying offer and having that power, to me.
Perhaps.
And you're talking to a guy that wants him here, but I'll just bring Jimmy Butler up, Stoney. Sure. Was every party appeased with that one? I think Miami Heat fans hated Jimmy because they knew they were losing something. They got rid of a headache, but their season went down the drain, and it already was. What about the Ralphie Devers before they got hot? We didn't know they were going to get hot. Fans were mad. They were upset. We were playing sound from callers in Beantown, upset of what they thought life was going to be without Devers. And then the team started balling. But the only reason I bring both those situations up is were both parties happy in each instance?
Devers
Jimmy
and who?
Jimmy Butler.
Well,
Warrior fans were happy, no doubt. But the Heat did it to get rid of him because he was a pain in the ass. But life without Jimmy has not been okay for the Miami Heat.
Yes, but they got off Butler's money, and now they got Norman Powell. And maybe they'll be better this upcoming season. I'm just wondering if you're a Warrior fan right now, what can somebody explain to me what would be the best case scenario right now for both Jonathan Kuminga and the Golden State Warriors? Because I'm not sure that I can come up with one.
If you're right in your assessment and you're not by yourself, that the young fella does not want to be here, then that just knocks this question out the park in regard to, yeah, we can guess and have a conversation, but Stoney, that doesn't exist if he really wants out that bad.
888-957-9570 is the number. Does a best-case scenario even exist with Jonathan Kuminga? And if you're wondering what's going on with Kuminga, the latest is Tim Kawakami of the SF Standard basically said he talked to a Warrior source yesterday, and the Warrior source said, oh, Kuminga's going to be on the team. We're not trading Kuminga. Okay, well, that only leaves two options, and one is Kuminga plays on the qualifying offer, or Kuminga accepts a contract from the Warriors that he clearly believes is below his market value. And so how's he going to handle that?
Yeah, we got in the chat, Michael Daniil. 7.9 Stoney, and let him walk. But is that that's not the best deal for the Warriors?
Well, it depends how much you think the Warriors need Jonathan Kuminga to reach their goals. And what are their goals? What are the Warriors' goals for this upcoming season? I got to believe it's
get to the Western Conference Finals.
Well, I think that's wishful thinking. I mean, to me, I would say, you know, can they be competitive again?
Wow, Stoney.
Like Western Conference Finals, why would you think this is a Western Conference Finals team right now after not making any moves in the offseason?
Yeah, but health is wealth. If you get that, if you tell me that, you know, the big three, Dre, Jimmy, and Steph are going to be healthy and be ready for the off, Stoney, and I know that you can't. Right then and there, you're already better than you were last year. And that's what's sad about how last year ended for me, and the bitter taste I have is there is a lot of, Stoney, to me, what ifs. And there is, you know, are we better than Minnesota if Curry didn't get hurt? And I know life doesn't work that way, but my gosh, if it's almost the Niner season right upon our eyes. If you guarantee health and McCaffrey and things of that nature, who's to say what the possibilities are? Because the rug got ripped right underneath us, from underneath us when that hammy went for Steph.
Well,
because I'll tell you this, partner, they're nothing without Curry, and we saw that. I don't care what you have.
Do you?
But damn.
Do you allow for the fact that maybe next year in the playoffs, Butler, Steph, and Draymond won't be as good as they were this past season in the playoffs?
Well, let me flip it to you this way before I answer. Would you allow the flip to where they'd be better?
Mm-mm.
So that's a definite no for you.
No, not those three guys. Now, they might not have to be better because the young guys get better, and Curry didn't play in the second round. Mm. So if Curry can play in the second round like he played in the first round, then, yeah, they'll be better next year in the second round than they were this past year in the second round, for sure. This from the 415 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. Best case scenario for JK is a sign and trade. Best case scenario for the Warriors is getting him re-signed on a multi-year contract and trading him at the deadline.
So both parties will not be whatever. It's like a Rubik's Cube of hoop. Snotty, I don't think there's one situation that everybody, both parties are happy with.
No.
And that's why we're where we're at.
Man. I'm still wondering if, as much as we like Kuminga, aren't you playing with fire bringing him back? Like, I get it.
Go
He's
ahead,
not going to be a problem. He's not going to be throwing temper tantrums. But everybody in that locker room knows that he's probably, in his mind, wants to be somewhere else. And the other thing is, his teammates are going to be asked about it constantly. If he comes back on the qualifying offer, it's going to be one of those things where, okay, the Warriors on December 12th, they're at the Sacramento Kings. Yeah. Well, guess what? Every Kings writer's going into the Warriors locker room and asking him, hey, JK, would you still like to play for the Kings? We know you wanted to they go into New York. Hey, you know, New York.
But they've been through stuff. It's the same team that went through the pool, Draymond
right.
Green job.
And how did it end up? It ruined their season.
I mean, they made the playoffs.
But that ruined their season.
One around. So, before we go to break.
You have no fear about Kuminga coming back.
I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. And I want to ask you, so there's no part of your brain that says, Goo, if he left, they wouldn't miss him. You won't even give him at all. You won't give Kuminga that. Like, this team could miss.
What is missing him look like?
Him at his best. Taking him for granted. Like, being able to get 18, 20 points on any given night.
He can't be at his best if Butler and Draymond are on the team. Mm. And then if they're not on the team, he can be at his best. Does that really translate to winning? 888-957-9570 is the number. You really want Kuminga to be back if he's not into it. It's really that simple. 888-957-9570 is the number on 95.7.